when people get words and preach my message ahead of time. It's so helpful.
It's easier there.
Because Laura brought that, was that Matthew 6?
It was Matthew 7:19.
Matthew 7. I knew it was the Sermon on the Mount somewhere. Ask and it'll be given to you. Did y'all hear that? Because you have a good father. And a good father gives, everybody say good gifts.
Good gifts.
Not bad gifts.
Good gifts.
He doesn't give stingy. He's not stingy. He gives liberally. He gives generously. And then what Evan was bringing too, and just reaching into heaven, I feel like that's really key. And has anybody been suffering with migraines this week? I just can't get away from that. You have? Come on up here, Peter. Ben, you've been having migraines? Come on, let's lay hands on them real quick. I can't. This is bothering me. I can't get away from this word right now. So, Lord, we just right now say no to these headaches. In the name of Jesus, we command them, go right now. I command them to stop. In Jesus' name. All pain be released. We release all the kingdom of heaven upon Peter and Ben right now. In the name of Jesus. We command every system and chemical in their body to be regulated right now. We command all stress to go right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. And who's been suffering with lower back pain this week? Let it go, Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Anxiety attacks. Somebody's just been having crippling anxiety this week. Oh, the Lord's taking care of it.
Amen.
I feel like that one was going during worship, Bailey. Thank you, Lord. We just command them to stop right now. Like you said in the storm, we say peace be still over Bailey's body right now.
Peace be still.
Your shalom come upon her.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Whew, the Lord's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he does give good gifts. He gives healing.
Yes, he does.
He never fails to speak to us. He gives words.
Yeah.
He brings even organization to things. I mean, you know, your father is so multifaceted.
Yeah.
It's really kind of, it's deep.
It's
very deep. He's much more than maybe what you think.
Come on.
He's much more concerned about every need. It said, can a sparrow even fall to the ground without him knowing? How much more does your father not know exactly what you need? So don't worry about tomorrow. For it's going to take care of itself. It's in Matthew 6. But he's got everything under his hand. He's not, I don't like to say he's not like a controlling God, like a puppet on the string, but he is in charge. And I want you to know that he loves you so much.
Yeah.
And because he's such a generous giver, he doesn't want any of us to neglect the gifts that he's put in our lives.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we don't neglect mama. How many know mama is a gift?
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, moms.
Yeah.
It's been said. Because moms, you carry the gift of the Holy Spirit for your family and your community. In fact, in John 16:7, I don't think I have this on the screen, but it says that the Holy Spirit is the comforter.
Yeah.
Another translation is an advocate. Advocate means, and there's a lot of different synonyms that's tied up in this word. In the Greek, it's paraclete, right? But within this paraclete, there's comforter, teacher, encourager, and counselor. Does anybody have a mom that's like a really good counselor? All the moms, Ben raised his hand, you see this? All the moms, and Sarah Ruth can raise her hand, and I can raise my hand, because all the moms in our lives are like really good counselors. And in other words, you need to know what to do. They're not calling dad. I mean, they might. They might. They're calling mom. The issues of the heart, they're going to mom. And I don't think this is by accident, because moms, God put this part of himself within you for this express purpose. You see, because you're part of a generation that needs moms like never before. We need the counsel. We need the comfort. You know, dads, when your kid falls and skins their knee, do they run to dad?
Never.
Usually not, because we ain't got no Band-Aids in our pocket. Mom's always got the Band-Aids, the peroxide, you know, whatever it is that's needed. If you're in our house, it's like an essential oil. You know, there's one for everything. Teacher, encourager. And I would say, moms, you're a prophetic voice according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, which is the New Testament standard for the gift of prophecy. It says, but one who prophesies, this is you, moms, you strengthen others, you encourage them, and you comfort them. I know my mom and my mother-in-law have always done this for me. You know, they're my number one fan. And I know that. And everybody's mother is or should be. And that's something that the Lord has given us as a gift to strengthen our hearts. This is the role of the Holy Spirit and the gift of prophecy for His church. So what I want to look at is one of my favorite Mother's Day passages, really. And it's Paul's letter to Timothy. And y'all remember Tim, right?
Yeah.
Timothy was a young man who Paul met and saw something in, obviously, along his missionary journeys in the book of Acts. And he came into contact with Timothy, kind of brought him on board with his ministry in one of the Greek city-states, actually up in what's now modern-day Turkey. And, you know, we know from the encouragement that Paul was given to Timothy, he said things like, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, or something like that. And he was always talking to him about exhorting and how to talk with elders and older women and older men and these sorts of things. And there must have been something that God had put in Timothy that was very powerful, because Paul left him at Ephesus. And Ephesus in Acts 19 was one of the first great epicenters of what we would call revival. Okay? I mean, there was revival that happened there to the extent that people came under such glory in the Holy Spirit that they took all their idols and their books and all the stuff that had to do with darkness, and they made a big bonfire out of it. Like in the city center or something. I mean, there was thousands upon thousands of people that were getting saved. And I'm just giving you a snapshot. This guy, Timothy, he was left there by Paul to pastor. Whew, that sounds glorious. It puts the fear of God in me. Like, oh God, I hope I don't mess it up. Apparently, and you'll see this in a minute, it caused Timothy to be a little bit, I don't know if fearful is the right word, but maybe intimidated. Like maybe a little bit insecure. Who wouldn't be? A little bit unsure. Like, do I have what it takes? And, okay, let me just read this. I'm actually going to start. So about 12 years, by my calculations, could be give or take, 12 to 14 years. After he was pastoring this, Paul is writing back to him and is writing these letters. And I'm actually going to start with a snapshot from the second letter. They're within months of each other, I believe, or maybe a year. And then we'll look at the first one as well. But this is 2 Timothy 1:1, right at the beginning through verse 7. It says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. He had something to cry about. That I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Where did Timothy get this faith from? Well, obviously he got it from God. He got it through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But there were some people in his life. Who knows who it was? It was mom and grandmother. which you dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Does anybody know what gifts God has given you? Who might have like a little inkling? I think I know some things God has put in me. What kind of gifts? But have you ever noticed that throughout the course of life, sometimes God says, stir it up. Sometimes the gifts are there, but I like to think of them as dormant. Sometimes throughout, there's whole churches or groups of churches that they have a gift or an assignment towards something, but that gift or that assignment is sort of dormant. In other words, it's there, but it's not being utilized. It's within me, but where is it? Sometimes that can cause some mild frustration. Have you ever experienced that frustration? Like, I know I'm called. I know I've got this, but I don't know. Like, where is it? Am I using it? Is it what's happening? And then you sort of play this mental, spiritual game with yourself and God. Like, was it my fault? Do I just need to wait on something? You know, you're trying to figure it out. I see a lot of heads nodding. Well, I want you to be encouraged, because even in a revival pastor like Tim, Paul has to say, like, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Tap your neighbor and say, stir it up. You see, God is stirring it up this morning, but there's also a cooperation. I realize sometimes he wants me to take a step. He wants me to join him. So it might have, and we'll get in the details of this in just a minute, but it might have to do with opening my mouth. It might have to do with, my gosh, migraine headaches. I can't get rid of it. It doesn't fit in the order of the service, but who's got a migraine headache? You know, like just exemplified a few minutes ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I did that, because I know Jesus is setting Ben and Peter free from that, is because it's a gift. And if I'm hearing something the best I can, and not walking in condemnation, don't do that, it doesn't help anybody. But I'm going to use the gift. And if I'm hearing it and I'm feeling it, then I'm going to use that. That's part of stirring it up. You see what I mean? So it's God, only God could give me that knowledge to know to say those headaches at that moment. You know? And which, by the way, remember that there's a lot of people going to Africa. Like Tiffany is going, she was going to Nigeria. Now that's been moved to Kenya. Eva's going to Ghana. And who else is going? And then Angel. Oh yeah, then I got invited this week to go to Ghana and Uganda in August. My mama doesn't even know, so this is news to everybody, including my mama. My friend Jeff, y'all remember Jeff Miller? He's preached here before. He has a ministry in Uganda, but he also has a dear friend for many, many years who has a whole missions base in Uganda. And so I'm kind of going on a scouting mission there this at the end of the summer to see what's up, because I need, the harvest is just jumping in the boat and the laborers are few. And so his friend Bill is saying, there's just not enough laborers. And Jeff was just there recently, and I mean, cataracts, this blind woman just got healed, crippled arms straightening out. And he's like, but Matthew, it breaks your heart, because you just see people needing to be discipled, you know, and pastors trained and churches planted and all that kind of stuff. So, Lord, give us the nations. I feel like I'm all over the place up here, but it has to do with gifts. So Tom, you remember the prophet Thomas Cherian that was here? I love that guy, the way that he just used his gift. Call out, Janet. I see Janet, you know. And this kid's sitting there. Frisco, Texas. Does that mean anything to you? It's my hometown, you know. The gifts that God has put in us. See, here's the thing. And there's a lot of people out of town for Mother's Day and stuff. I kind of wish I could speak in person. I'll just talk about it more weeks. That's what I'll do. But is there's so much the Lord wants to do with this church. It doesn't have to do with me. It doesn't have to do with our glory. It has to do with His. It has to do with what He wants to do. And what's so encouraging to me is like, people are baptizing other people, meeting with them for discipleship. That is not me and Sarah. It's just, it's happening. Ephesians 4 say that the pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle, etc. exists to equip the church to do the work of ministry. And that's happening here. On a weekly, I mean, what joys me more than anything is when I find out that somebody sitting here in these chairs has been meeting or doing stuff with other people and doing ministry with them. And then I find out about it after the fact. Like, oh, wow. You just did that? Amazing. Like, let's go. Get ready to baptize people. I mean, because there's going to be so many people that need to be baptized that one pastor couldn't possibly do it all. Besides that, show me in the New Testament where it says, go to your pastor and get baptized. No, it says in Matthew 28, all y'all, go.
All y'all.
Preach the gospel, baptizing those. You see it happen. So people just went wherever they could find water. Like, let's get you baptized. But take baptism as a micro example. Cast the demons out. Whatever the need is, it's the kingdom of heaven is coming upon you. And see, that is happening with this church, but it's going to happen more. And what I believe the Lord wants to encourage you this morning is to begin and continue to pray. If you haven't started, or if you know, but maybe it's dormant, is stir up the gift.
Yeah.
Like, what is the gift in me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are y'all all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, remind Timothy to stir up the gift of God. I think that was verse 6. And then, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7 is one of the all-time favorites. That's like one of those that my mom prayed over me when I had night terrors, you know, that we all prayed during the pandemic. That was very, very key. And that is, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. All depending on your translation. Love, power, and a sound mind. So that is for mental health. However, if you read the text, it's not the context of how Paul was encouraging Timothy. Now, I mean, maybe it was, because maybe, you know, Timothy was so stressed out or anxious or something that it is directly, but it would be indirectly, because he's talking about the context of spiritual gifts. He's talking about what we just read of stir this thing up in you. And who has ever felt like, okay, God's given me some gifts, but I am terrified. Like, I don't know how to use it. I'm not sure what it means. I feel condemned because it's not happening as much. Okay. So this is where the Lord is saying, no, none of that. I'm no longer a slave to fear, like we sang this morning. But I am what? I am a child of God. For he's not giving you a spirit of fear about those gifts, but of power and of love and of a sound mind to be encouraged.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not sure if this is connected. Help, Holy Spirit. Now, back up to the first letter, just three verses. 1 Timothy 4:14. It's the same topic, and that's why I'm just going backwards. I just want to, for the point of time. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. But meditate. Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
What does meditate mean? It means fill your mind. It's not like the demonic kind of meditation where you empty your mind, you know, with some recitations or something. No, meditate means revolve in your mind or imagine. Everybody say imagine.
Imagine.
Have you ever laid awake at night, like trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden you start to imagine yourself doing things with Jesus? Am I the only one? Okay, a few more people. If you haven't, I would challenge you. Ask the Holy Spirit, like, what do you have for my life? I can remember doing this since I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. I remember being sort of a rebellious teenager who was not yet walking in the kingdom. I was living in sin. Just trust me. But yet at night, the Holy Spirit would come into my room and I would actually see myself leading all my lost friends to Christ. Wow. How does that work? I really don't even think I'm born again at this point. But yet the word had been put in me, right? By mama, by my grandmother, Barbara. You know, just like Timothy. It's like rehearse these things. So Paul's telling Timothy, revolve in your mind. Imagine yourself on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. There's people in these chairs this morning that in this season that we're going into, you're going to be doing things in the kingdom. Remember, this is supernatural because it's beyond the natural. It's not just about your skill and what you're naturally able to do. It's supernatural gifts that you're going to do. And we're all going to be like, whoa, who is that dude? What is going on? It's going to be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I just wrote in my journal this week, we have a real opportunity in our church to see God do legendary things by each member of the body using their unique and powerful gifts. This church is doing the work of the ministry, and there is more. So much potential here. Do you guys feel that? It's not, is it just me? Okay. There's so much that the Lord wants to do. All right, number one, let's just go through this real quick. What are my gifts? Raise your hand if you have an inkling of what your spiritual gifts are. Okay, that's a lot of people. That's good. Study, pray, and meditate on Ephesians 4. Write these down if you're so inclined. Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. The last two are easy because they're both chapter 12 and they're back-to-back books. So Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Those have lists of spiritual gifts. And then Ephesians 4. Now, I want you to remember one thing. My buddy Ryan, at his ordination last week, I was in Mooresville 4. He was talking about this topic and he said this, and I really agree with this. He said, it's almost like in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, you can note an et cetera in there. He lists out helps and administration and, you know, healings and miracles and all these things. And then it's like you feel an et cetera. Because the Holy Spirit, what I've experienced over 25 years, is that he's not in a box. The Holy Spirit is an expander. He's an expansionist God. Like, he wants gifts to flow out the wazoo, if that's a word. He just wants all kinds of gifts to just begin to flow in us and through us. Paul's not making a list to confine. He's making a list to create hunger in order for the Holy Spirit to expand. Lord, now remember also... Start here. Start with, okay, what is my bent regarding the fivefold in Ephesians 4? So if you start in Ephesians 4 with apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, you'll notice that all of us in this room, while probably none of us have the office, I'm not really talking about the office of those things as much as I'm talking about what is my bent. In other words, sometimes I come across Christians who just can't stand to be in this room because they're so evangelistic. They're like, the world is lost. They're going, why are we here? Like, they're just so consumed with that. They're like, Roy, you might be an evangelist if, you know. And then you've got the people who it's like, man, I got the number 4 and then a raven flew over and I had a dream. And it's like they're so prophetic that all God's people said, huh? Like, we're just so lost because it's just so. And it's awesome and it's God and it's good. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just, because I'm partially like that myself. But In other words, like, you might be a really prophetic person. You know, and then there's others like, well, where is the Bible study? I mean, Bible, brother, do we have Bible study on Wednesday night? And like, they're always looking for the next book study. And you might have a bit towards the teacher gift. You know, and then don't even get me started on the preacher. You know, and then the pastor who's applying it. If you've ever been the type of person where you don't even know why, but people just come to you for advice or for help, like with issues, everyday issues of life, you might have a pastoral bent in you. You know, I don't know if I've hit on all five, but you see what I'm saying? To me, I think that's a really good starting point to assess, okay, who has God made me to be? And know that in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about how we're all different. You know, and I think one of the strengths of the church is when we can appreciate like what Channing has. And that my gift is different than Channing, but it's complementary. And that as part of one body or one church, it all fits together.
That's good.
So in fact, if Channing's trying to be who I am or vice versa, there's actually, that doesn't work very well. Because the hand, what is it saying in that chapter? If the hand says to the foot, why are you not this, or the eyeball or whatever. You know, if you think about the human body, obviously the big toe can't do the job of the ear. Right? It's not supposed to. But I've heard, like, if you lost your big toe, you couldn't balance. You know what I'm... So it's very, very important. Every single thing is extremely important. And in fact, I think the potential that God is bringing us to is when every single person within this body is operating and is stirring it up. But in confidence that it's God and not you, and it's not comparing yourself as less than or better than or different. Because no, you're not supposed to be. You be exactly who God's made you to be. So once you've got that bent, next, what I found myself doing well or a lot. What have you found yourself doing well or a lot in the church? Are you always like assisting people and leading stuff, like the gift of helps? Do you love organizing events, meetings, or ministries? Did you know that there's a spiritual gift called administration? And I mean, it's, in other words, it's supernatural. It's beyond like Tiffany as a school principal. I mean, I'm sure Tiffany is using that supernatural gift as a school principal, but it's a spiritual gift. I felt like the Lord saying, Matthew, what's coming? There's going to be so much flying. We really need the administrators in this church to step up. And that's not a pressure thing, because if it's in you, it's a joyous thing. It's like, oh, we need to figure out how these things flow together. That's just one example. So look at what you're naturally doing. Do I love to give my time or my finances to missions, or do I have this bent towards seeing the physically sick healed? Write these down if you haven't already. Write these down. And here's a very practical assessment tool. It's a website called giftstest.com. Write that down if you've never done it. Giftstest.com is literally just 66 like questions. Click the best description for you. 66 questions in this, it's like a survey, and it's free. And then it sends you what's most likely to be your spiritual gifts based on your responses. Does this, in other words, I think the giftstest.com confirms what the Holy Spirit has already shown you. What if any prophetic encouragement have you received over the years concerning these? Have you ever gotten somebody said, you know what, I just see this in you. I feel like the Lord is saying this about you. Go back and pray about that. Like, okay, Lord, how does this fit? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? And so like for Dr. Tiffany Newsom, she got invited this morning to preach and prophesy at a ministry in Raleigh called the Rock Life Center. So that's where she's at right now, accepting this invitation to be a guest and to go and minister. So why don't we just pray for her right now as she's ministering, or maybe she has. Holy Spirit, just come upon Tiffany. Stir up that gift within her. give her keen discernment and insight to speak the words of heaven over people. Thank you for. For me, if you don't know me very well, I love and have just started things my whole life. I mean, when I was a baby Christian, I started a campus ministry at UNCG. You know, I mean, I love healing because I was healed of mental illness as a teenager. And that's where that really started for me. I've received several prophetic words regarding this. Like I mentioned already, I've daydreamed about healing, seen deaf ears open. I've seen whiplash healed. I saw an Indian man in ICU at UNC with family nowhere around healed and then sent home. I saw a woman near death in India healed through a prayer cloth. Go figure that. I've seen hundreds of backs healed, etc. I started healing rooms at River Life Mooresville in 2009. Where people could come almost like a doctor's appointment. I've written half of a book about it. and I had a powerful angelic encounter where a fiery coal was taken in place in my right hand. I'm humbly mentioning these things as encouragement because Jesus is the healer. I can't heal anybody. But Paul tells us, like Timothy, stir it up. Stir up, meditate, and give yourselves entirely. But like I said, sometimes these gifts feel dormant even in my life. Yet I hear the Lord's encouragement to press on, to press in. So number two, not only do you need to, number one, what are my gifts? But number two, stir up and don't neglect. In 1 Timothy 1:7, like I said, it's not just about mental health. It's about love, power, and a discerning mind. Because fear creeps in. But the love of Jesus compels, and his power shows up when we walk in our gifts. That's the thing that you need to remember. It's when you cooperate, commission with God, co-mission, go on a mission with him, those things begin to release spiritual power in and through your life. That you had like, oh man, it's almost like rediscovering who you really are. The power to give, the power to serve, the power to administrate, the power to heal. Number three, meditate on them. It's okay to imagine yourself doing the stuff. Envision God using you. Journal about what you'd like to see God do with your life. Look up every usage of the gift in Scripture. You'll be encouraged. I promise you. Read books about it from other Christians. People who have been there. Hebrews 5:14 says this, but solid food, that's for mature Christians like you guys, solid food to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, what's that talking about? Well, it's talking about the gift of discernment, but apply that to every other spiritual gift that you possess. And it's saying by reason of use. In other words, practice makes perfect. Sometimes I had to step out there and say, hey, I see 1989, or I see something, and I'm trying to use the gift of word of knowledge. And like, well, you remember the Good Friday service. Somebody in here was just diagnosed with cancer. Crickets. Who is that? Raise your hand. Nobody raises their hand. I found, what do you do in those moments? Well, you can either go, man, I blew it. I missed it. I'm a failure. I don't know what I'm doing. My gift's not working. Or you can trust God and say, you know what? Even if I did, I'm like a kid practicing. I don't know about yours, but when I pushed that kid off on their bike with no training wheels for the first time, there was a few bloody knees for mama to bandage. Like, sometimes you're going to go down before you get it. Don't feel bad about that, because that's all of us. We're all in a process. We're all practicing. Are you guys all right? I'm almost done, so we can go to lunch. Mother's Day. It's through practice. I've learned that there's really like a sanctified imagination that God's put in all of us. You remember what it was like as a little kid? Maybe you were really artistic or something. You had this active imagination. Did anybody have like an imaginary friend? What if that was Jesus? But I'm just saying. Okay, so then as we get more mature, usually adults kind of talk us out of our imagination. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't to an extent, but I also realize there's part of that. There's at least a part, because I don't really know 100%. But I know there's a part of our imagination that is from God. And sometimes we as really busy, stressed, and active adults, we've forgotten what it is to imagine. But not only that, having a renewed heart and a renewed mind, that's where I think the sanctified comes in. Because we're not imagining something for our own glory. We're imagining, what if I stood on that stage in Africa and I preached the gospel and all of heaven broke out? You know, what if I handed that person that bag of groceries at the grocery store and gave them this prophetic word and it changed their whole life? Whatever it is. And you can put it in all kinds of different contexts. And number four, give yourself entirely to Jesus. Because Paul said to Timothy about this gifts, give yourselves entirely to them. And that made me pause, like, whoa, wait just a minute. What do you mean give yourselves to the gift? Well, here's why. Because the gift is Him. The gift is Jesus. Jesus was the master administrator. Jesus was the master giver. Jesus was the master healer. In the right light, when you give yourself to the gift of prophecy, you're giving yourself to Jesus because He is prophecy. Amen. Every word from Him is a prophetic word. Why give yourself entirely? Because you're giving yourself daily to Jesus. He has created me to heal the sick, share the gospel, start churches, ministries in the earth. I come fully alive in Him as I do these things because it's actually Him in me. Y'all remember Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the things I now do, I do not by my own faith. I'm going to slide that in there. By the faith of Christ, who something like bought me, paid for me. Go on. It's His faith in you that activates these things. All right, y'all stand up. I just want us to lay hands on ourselves this morning. If you would be so inclined, just put your hand on your heart. You know, because I'm really knowing that God is going to do something supernatural in all of us. So Holy Spirit, come. Just come, Lord. And I know, Lord, there's going to be a lot of time in this season for laying hands on one another, for the impartation from the elders, from the pastors, the apostles, Lord. Lord, we're really looking forward to those times, but also, Lord, as we lay hands on ourselves, I can see You, Father, laying hands on all of us. That inheritance we've received from Abraham, we've been talking about, Lord, those gifts are freely available to us. So, Holy Spirit, would You just impart those prophetic gifts, Lord? The gifts of healings, the many multifaceted one, Lord. Would You give the gift of helps, of administration, Lord? Would You give the gift of giving, the Lord, the gift of mercy? We cry, mercy, Lord, I want mercy. I'm asking for the gift of mercy, Jesus. Lord, let all those gifts be instilled into our hearts right now. And God, I pray that You would remind each person what it is that they have to give. Because freely we've received and now we can give away. We just thank You. We bless You, Lord. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me just encourage you with this final thing. Undoubtedly, biblically, there are certain gifts God gives sovereignly. But then biblically, Paul talks about how you can all prophesy.
Yeah.
All, he said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues as much as I do. So there's sort of a tension there. Well, do I just wait back and like win the spiritual lottery? And so like if I get the gift, I get the gift. Or do I ask? You know what my conclusion after 25 years is? Yes. You do both of those. Because I've got six kids. And if they really are asking from the genuineness of their heart for something, guess what daddy's heart's going to try to do? I'm going to try to do that for them. And I believe that's how what your daddy in heaven is like. That scripture that you read, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Like if you want the words of knowledge or the gift to prophesy or whatever it is, you want to be a great administrator or to have mercy or whatever, ask God. Ask God. It may not feel like, boom, well, I got it. You know, I'm going to stand up like Thomas Chariot and call out people's names. It may not happen exactly like that. We can't know exactly determine how this is going to happen. But I believe God wants, he hears your prayers. He hears your heart. He hears your ask.
Yeah.
Be bold and say, Lord, this is really what I believe I am, who I am. This is what I want, and ask him. All right?
Yeah.
You guys good? All right, bless one another. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, let us just celebrate our moms like just a rip-roaring celebration. Thank you for them, God. We bless them today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you. Be blessed.